I'm with Katie Cox, Executive Director at Kadiksu Land Trust. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Susie.
Thank you for taking the time to kind of bring us, update us a little bit on what's going on at Kadiksu Land Trust. You're wrapping up a spectacular winter up at Pine Street Woods, and you have lots of interesting and fun projects and programs planned ahead from what I hear. But let's give our listeners, because we always have new folks on the radio listening, an overview of what is Kadiksu Land Trust, your mission, vision, and core values.
Excellent. Thank you, Susie. It's so nice to be with you today. I always love to share the work that we're doing at Kadiksu Land Trust, mostly because I know it impacts each and every member of our community, and you are community radio. So the mission of Kadiksu Land Trust, and this mission was just adopted actually by our board this last month. We'd been working for about 2 years on our strategic plan, and we worked on it in 2020, and we decided that what we wanted to do was really sit with it. We wanted to sit into the words and see if it was a true reflection of the work that we were doing on a daily basis, and see where we needed to adjust, where our focus was, you know, what we really wanted to zero in on in terms of our focus. And we used that time and patience in order to do that. And we had a staff meeting this fall up at the Crooked Tree at Pine Street Woods, and it really gave us a chance to review it all. And then we did make some very slight adjustments in programs and in focus, which we'll talk about a little bit more about today. But we really feel strongly that this strategic plan is our work, and it's our work for the next 5 years. And it's something that's very, it's nimble and it's beautiful, and it's really all about our community. And our mission is really shows that work. And our mission statement is caring for the lands and the people of the Kadiksu region today, tomorrow, and forever. So it's that balance between the land and the people, and how we together as a community support each of those elements. And the vision, you know, a vision is that, you know, is the ultimate. Like if we could think about what we ultimately, if we could affect change, what we ultimately want, it's that each person who walks this land embraces a responsibility to steward its richness and diversity for the benefit of present and future generations. So if you can imagine that, if everybody who walked this land, and the land that I'm talking about is, you know, for us in our heads is the Kadiksu region, but we work in Bonner and Boundary and Sanders County, Montana. So if we could get to that, where every person who walked this land just embraced each of our independent responsibility to be stewards and take care of this land, what an amazing thing that would be.
It's like a legacy into the future, but it's also guiding principles. I mean, you're right. If you can meet this, how beautiful is that? That's striking. Mm-hmm. Almost makes you just feel such a relief for this region, and really for anyone who's touched by the work that you do. So bravo. It's not easy to come up with something so succinct that really hits the mm-hmm. vision. So
yeah. And it's sitting in that for 2 years and saying, is this really what we're doing? Can we say that we are doing this work? And we really, you know, 2 years later said, yes, this is our mission. This is our vision. And then we have our core values, which really guide that work that we do. The first and foremost is that core value that's been with our organization since its inception, which is that conservation work. And that is really, truly the foundation of our organization. And we say in terms of our core value that we have a deep respect for the lands of the Kadiksu region. We work to conserve the forests, farmlands, mountains, and valleys of this area. Through our collective caring for the land and water, we ensure that it endures for future generations. So it really focuses on that vital land protection work that we do. We work with voluntary private property owners, many who have been here for generations, knowing that they have put all of their heart and soul into the land that they care for and want to make sure that that land stays protected for future generations. So what does protected mean? It's we generally say, like, if you have a pencil box and you have all of these opportunities on your land, you can build a house, you can build a shop, you can farm, you can ranch it, you can do forestry. All of that can continue to happen on your land. The pencil we take out is the ability to subdivide that land, to take that 100 acres and subdivide it in 10 acre parcels. That's the pencil that you give to Kinnexu Land Trust. And as your partner, then we are taking the responsibility to tend that land and monitor the land with you and work with you, making sure that those values, those conservation values hold intact for not only your ownership of that land, but when you sell the land, you sell the land just like you sell any land, but the conservation easement goes on it. So that's really the base of our work. And just a really neat story that I'm guessing you read about in the paper that was in terms of conservation. We also work in partnership. We work in partnership with many people when we do certain projects. For instance, right now we're working up with the Kootenai tribe and the road and bridge on a culvert restoration of Cow Creek, and trying to get a grant for that. We also recently, you might have seen, we were approached by the Idaho Club to put a conservation easement on the land. And then eventually in doing that work with the Idaho Club, they said, we actually want to give it to you. We said, you know what? We're not the right stewards of that land, the right stewards of the Kalispell tribe. Would you consider giving the land to the Kalispell tribe? Because we, in talking with the tribe, we knew that they were trying to revive their canoe culture, and having access points on the lake, public access points is hard. And so we knew that they would be stewards of this public access because it's important to them and the canoe culture is important to them. So helping to facilitate, it doesn't always happen that it comes to us, and that's just fine with us. We just try to find the right partnership and the right caretaker for that land for now and forever.
So what you're talking about is connecting the dots, the important mm-hmm. dots that will protect the land and also the culture, which I give you a applaud for that. So thank you. Mm-hmm. And then exactly. The last core value is community.
Yeah, well, our second one, we passed over second one, which is connection. So and that's connection is the heart of our work. We strive to break down barriers in order to connect our community to the land. When we connect each other with the land, we learn to value and protect it together. And I think what the community probably knows most about the work in terms of connection is our youth programs. The programs that we do with our with the schools, not only with all of the elementary schools, with Lake Ponderay School District. So I think as well as our summer camp, our Camp Kinnexu, our winter Camp Kinnexu, I think that's where people really understand the value of that connection. If we can connect our children to the land, if we can give them an experience to love the land, then they will be the stewards of this land far into the future, and the stewards of wherever they go, right? They'll understand the value of land and the value of protecting it and the value of really just really taking care of it. And then our most recent initiative is the Folk School Initiative, where we're also trying to connect people with the land through giving them those hand skills, those ability to work with their hand and work with nature to create beautiful, beautiful objects or to create music to bring people together. And that Folk School Initiative really came out of parents dropping their kids off at Camp Kinnexu saying, when do we get to go? When do we get to go to camp? And so the Folk School Initiative was really about giving them the opportunity to learn like their children learn.
We'll get into the folk school details coming up, but let's, so yeah, that's very exciting. And do you want to talk about your third core value?
The third core value is community. And our work together as a community leads to lasting and far-reaching impacts. Our efforts are guided by integrity, compassion, and honesty. We care about and respect our community members and strive to forge relationships based on mutual benefit and trust. And so what does this look like? This looks like we often say we have ears always open to the challenges that our community is facing. last summer and this summer, it was that connection between our small scale farmers and the food bank and how to get the food from the farmer's market at the end of day to the food bank. We've also just recently, our board has adopted an additional goal of ours is to begin formulating a community land trust, working in the community land trust space. And what is a community land trust versus it? So it is really looking at that workforce housing, looking at how can we, you know, and some people say, wait, why is the land trust working in housing? Well, we're working in housing because we, in order to protect those farm fields and forests and make sure that people don't have to drive, you know, far north or far south in order to live because the price of housing is so high, we're trying to find land in order to build housing on that. And then the land trust is the leaseholder on the land. So we're able to take the value of land out of that house price and create houses that are affordable for our community to live in. And so this partnership in terms of giving housing, having housing opportunities for people in more the like 195 to 325 range for 1 to 3 bedroom houses, and having that close in, having it tied to trails, having it tied to our downtown and our community, it really helps and it really helps to protect those farms and forest land that in otherwise could be subdivided, right? Wow. So it's really important that we should be doing this work.
It's big. Your scope of possibilities is enormous. And again, I applaud you for that. And I'd like to get into some of those points that you mentioned, the farmers to food bank, the community land trust, the folk school a little bit more, but I wanted to just back up a little bit for the new people. Conexi Land Trust actually started out 20 years ago as the Clark Fork Pondere Conservancy.
Yes.
What are some of the milestones, since we're really tooting the horn here, because it's big, it's awesome. What are some of the milestones realized during these last 20 years that have actually helped imprint what is coming up and really probably helped you with your mission, values, and vision?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we started, right, we started as a part of the licensing for the dams along the Clark Fork and really that bull trout habitat. And that was really the focus of our first efforts was doing land protection along those waterways, working with a vista, but it started to grow. People wanted the ability to protect land farther afield than just those waterways, and we started doing that work. So really, for the first 12 years of our life, it was really focused on that conservation, and then we stepped back, and this idea of and it's called community conservation. This idea was brought to us through one of the land. We are a member of Land Trust Alliance, and there was a rally, and they were talking about community conservation and doing this work. And we were at that point sort of struggling, I think, with how do you connect people when you're doing just private land conservation and just a project here or there every year. How do you connect people with the work that we're doing, and how do you have them feel really invested in it? And then also recognizing that how do you support your community? If you're a land trust, can you support your community too? And in 2015, it was that leap to saying yes. Like, in order to do conservation work, we really need to be helping to make that connection for the people in our community to the land. And so that's when our education program started. And that's when we started sort of taking on this idea of, okay, let's listen to our community and the needs of our community, and can we meet them, meet those needs. And so that's really been the genesis of the organization. And then really understanding and seeing that, hey, us taking on this work with our community, this is impactful. This is really supporting the community and really helping them understand the importance of conservation and really making many more connections for us with everybody out there, because they're seeing us as more of this multifaceted organization. And so, and then leaning into that, really the last 7 years has been leaning into that community mission while still doing that conservation work.
I'm just wondering while you're talking and, you know, making the connection to what the community, and you say listening to the community, how do you interface with the broad spectrum and the diversity in our community? How do you stay in touch and continue the various work that you're doing at the Land Trust? That's probably a challenge.
It is a challenge, but you know how we do it is we do it through partnerships. We do it because there are so many beautiful nonprofits here that are doing such good work. And we have a connection and partnerships with, I mean, when you look at, I sometimes do a, you know, I'll do a presentation and I have a slide that says, you know, our partnerships here. And it's, you know, it's 25, 30 organizations that we work with on and keep in touch with on a daily basis. So it's like the food bank is a perfect example, right? Debbie and Katie and Reagan have a great relationship. Debbie lets us know when she has things that she feels like we can be a part of. We ask Debbie, what are you struggling with? Can we help you? That's exactly how we came about the partnership with the food bank. Was actually, we sat down with the farmers market and the president of the farmers market, and we said, how can the Land Trust help you? And the Land Trust, like, are you struggling? Are farmers struggling to find land? Are farmers struggling? And what we got was, no, we actually, there's lots of land and there's lots of opportunity out there. People ask us all the time, like, do you want to farm my acreage? She said, the issue that we have is getting the food at the end of market to the food bank, because the food bank's closed at that point. They don't have the staff. And so that's when we were like, how do we solve this problem? We can write a grant. Let's write a grant. And we ended up writing this climate grant and the reason it was a connection with the climate was because if we can keep local food grown here, right, it supports local climate, right? So it's just figuring out those challenges that our other nonprofits are having. We have a beautiful one happening right now with the Bonner County Historical, you know, the museum. It's really just keeping our ears open to our partners and having our partners know that we are here listening, and we have the ability to write grants and support your efforts as well.
So what I hear you saying is really listening, paying attention, and reaching out.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely.
And I'm wondering how you do that with a 3-person staff. But so that leads me to
our staff is not 3.
Okay.
Our staff is 7.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that makes more sense because you must have a full-time grant writer and all things like that.
We do not.
Oh.
We do not. We have an interesting staff. We have about 4.0 FTE with 7 people. So one of the things we pride ourselves on also at the Land Trust is allowing for people to do their best work, but have it work-life balance. So I'm actually the only, we qualify full-time as 32 hours a week. We have 3 staff members who are 2 that are 32, 1 that are, I work 40 hours a week. And then everybody else has like little chunks of 25 or 10. So we're 4.0 FTE, but we're small, but we're mighty, Susie.
Small and mighty. That sounds good. Well, I want to, because we have a timeline here. So give us a little picture. You touched on a lot of things. Let's just say you had a wonderful winter. You have a great relationship with the Nordic Ski Club up at Pine Street Woods. It's beautiful up there all year long. But let's talk now about what's coming up. I don't want to run out of time. You've touched on some of it. There's the Folk School, Community Land Trust, and you mentioned.
Yeah, and I don't want to discount, and I don't want to like gloss over the partnership with Sandpoint Nordic Club at all, because I want to mention that they were able to bring, I believe the number was 800 students from the Lake Pend'Oreille School District up during the winter time, all led by volunteers to teach kids how to cross country ski. Amazing. That amazing to get all that effort of coordinating all those classes. And we also were able to, through a grant from PAFE, we were able to partner with them and lead a conservation program curriculum during those ski program. And so, yes, they're winding down their season, but we are so grateful for the partnership with Sandpoint Nordic Club. What's coming up is our partnership with the Pendre Peddlers, which is another amazing partnership. We could not do our trail maintenance and upkeep without POP and without SNC. POP has spring bike clinics for kids that actually are all full, but then they actually just opened two more. So you might want to check their website. Those are coming up as soon as the trails dry up. And then their summer camp, bike camp is coming up as well. And so we have that. We have a cleanup day in partnership with ICL coming up over Friends of Scotchman's Peak Wilderness on Earth Day weekend. That's going to be at Pine Street Woods. We also will have, you'll see, we'll probably have lots of trail cleanup and workday parties because we need to do that after the winter has made, and water has made its way through Pine Street Woods. We'll probably have some trail closures coming up in order to keep those trails from getting destroyed because of mud season. So pay attention to that as you're hiking. If you see a trail closed sign, please just go the other way. Even your soft footsteps sometimes make lasting imprints in those trails. And so
I just want to say one thing about Pine Street Woods. If you had done only one thing, if Kiniksu Land Trust had only done that one thing, that would be enough almost. But you move forward, you have other things going on, but Pine Street Woods is magical, it's special. It was a long process to get together, but it happened, and it will benefit everyone into the future forever, as is part of your mission. So
thank you, Susie. And I can't fail to mention, we are still, I know the audience will be interested, we are still feverishly working on acquisition of the historic sled and ski hill. So that is underway.
Are you feeling pretty positive about that?
I am feeling very positive. Okay. I'm a positive person, and I'm feeling very positive that's going to come to be pass, and that will be open to our community. And again, we have partners at the ready to potentially do things like reopen the ski hill, the sled hill. Hopefully we will be able to teach youth fly fishing through another nonprofit at the pond, have a space for Kiniksu lumber, have a spot for our folk school classes down low, more trails. The vision for this land is all about our community and serving the needs of our community. And this is your community forest.
So again, you're the hub of all these connections. And folks can go to your website, but how can the community get involved? I'm just going to throw out three things. Contact information, how can the community be involved as volunteers? And funding.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Those are all interconnected.
Yeah.
Contact me for funding at, no. No, our www.kiniksu.org. That is our website.
It's a great website, by the way. Great website.
Thank you. And each of us can be contacted at our first name at kiniksu.org. Those are our emails. People can get involved in a myriad of ways. Volunteering is a great way. And not only volunteering for Kiniksu Land Trust, but volunteering for POP and SNC helps Kiniksu Land Trust. So we keep an active volunteer list anytime. And we'd love to know, like, if you have a specialty, like if you can help in an area like forestry skills or in a specific area, that's really good for us to know. And we can call on you. Our funding this last year, at least, came about 40% from grants. So we are always feverishly writing grants, and then 60% from individual donations. So there is a little percentage. There's about 14% that comes from earned revenue from our camps and from the Kiniksu lumber operation. So buying lumber at Kiniksu Lumber, once we get the mill up and running again, that supports Kiniksu Land Trust. But really, that individual donations is vital. And if you can consider doing a recurring gift every month, you know, take $10 a month coming to Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust. That is so impactful because it allows us to plan. Having those recurring gifts really allows us to plan. Any type of gift is really impactful. So we really, you know, we are driven by your donation and your generosity. And we are so grateful for the donors that we have and hope that we're doing good work so that you see that that investment is worth that, you know, is worth your money.
So let's just say that website again to find out all kinds of things that are going on, updates on camps and folk schools and things like that. That website again?
www.kinnicksiouk.org.
O-R-G. Okay. I want to give a shout out to Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, talking about connections. KRFY is also a nonprofit, and we are funded by underwriters, individual donations. I know about those $10 a month automatic deposits into our bank account and how valuable that is. And underwriters, and Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust is a valued underwriter, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for that. And I know that, Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust is really truly a gem here in our community, a shining star. That's all I can really say.
Thank you, Susie.
Yeah, thank you so much, Katie, for taking the time. Any last words of wisdom you'd like to shout out?
I would say just keep hiking, keep enjoying this amazing place that we all call home, and keep taking care of it.
I think that's perfect. Thank you so much, Katie Cox, Executive Director at Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust.
Thanks, Susie.